In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. No, you don't understand something. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You never know when your last day. You never know if today is your last service. When you leave home in the morning, you don't know whether you're coming back. So I'm telling you today, when you get to the house of the Lord, I'm telling you, it's just good to get here. You realize this morning your heart's beating because God has it beating. Understand what I'm saying? It's beating because he allows it to beat. So I'm telling you today, he is worthy to be lifted up. He is worthy to receive all the praise and the glory. For there is no other God besides him. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I won't give you all the details, but sometimes all you can do is holler, Jesus. 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 But when you say that name, something begins to change. Something begins to happen. I'm here today to tell you, church, that's all you got to know is to be able to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I've got to give Sister CJ a topic. I got to give you a title. I see Bishop said no. I got to give you a title. I'm going to give you a title, and I'll get to it and try and explain to you what it means. Put this as a title. 0.9375. I got everybody's attention now. They're trying to figure out what that means, and I hope I have time to cover it all today. I want to begin by reading two verses from 2 Timothy, if you wouldn't mind standing, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and the hearing of his word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 begins, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. No man that warred, go into verse 4, no man that warred entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Understand something. So we prayed, and I will begin the lesson. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there is no God beside you, oh Lord. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, Father. Father, you created everything. You spoke the world into existence, Father. Your sun rose this morning, Father. You let the rays shine upon us, Father. You've allowed us to come safely back into your house of worship. We've come with one purpose, Father, as your soldier, as we're committed to you, Father, to lift up your name, that you may receive all glory and honor and praise today, Father. For you said, if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto you, Father. That we give you praise and glory today in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Endure hardness as a good soldier. As a good soldier. A soldier is a person who enlists their services in the military. In the military. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. Let me begin to establish something for you. First of all, when you pick up the Bible and begin to read the Bible, understand something. This is the Word of God. It is just not any book. It is the Word of God. It is a glimpse into the mind of Almighty God. It is a chance to understand the wisdom of the eternal God. It's one of the books that out of every book that you can have trust in because it is truth. Understand me? It is truth. See, I don't tell you today, since you are alive and breathing, you are a soldier in a war. Now the question becomes, what side will you choose? What side will you choose to be on? Understand something. You cannot stand in neutral and say, well, I'm going to be on either side. Because I'm here today to tell you, when you reach the judgment seat, you will be on one side or the other side. But there is no stuck in between. There is no half-hearted soldier. You cannot be kind of soft, say, well, I'm halfway committed. I'm soft in between. I'm really not committed. Understand something. In my world, if you have a half a heart, you got a dead heart. You cannot be a half-hearted. See, when in Revelation, he describes it as being lukewarm. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. See, the half-hearted man, really, if you want to make it, is really a lukewarm child of God. You cannot be a lukewarm child of God. You cannot go to battle as a soldier. Well, I'm a soldier. I got the uniform on, but I really don't want to go to war. I'm here today to tell you, Jesus Christ has called us to war. He called us to war against the enemy. I'm here today to tell you the enemy is busy out there right now. But I'm here today to tell you, you serve a commander in chief that's bigger and can handle any situation than the one out there in the world. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Give me Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6. Now we know the Bible tells us here in Ephesians, for we war not against flesh and blood. We know we war against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high place. But he said, wherefore take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Understand something. This is the armor that you must put on. But let me tell you something quickly here. You can put the armor on, but if you don't go to war, it's just like a statue that's standing someplace in the corner. God has prepared you, put the armor on for you to do something with that armor. I'm here today to tell you, you got to begin to stand up and say, I am committed to Jesus Christ. You know, we used to sing the old song, Onward Christian Soldier. A little kid used to sing, I'm in the Lord's army. Well, all of a sudden, we've left that on the sideline somewhere because we really don't want to get into the battle. But I'm here today to tell you, God has called harvest to this day and this time for this moment in this battle. He's called you to stand up for what he's called you to be. I'm here today to tell you, when Jesus went to Calvary, he didn't go halfway to Calvary. He went all the way to the cross. He paid a price on the cross that we could not pay. We are acquitted because of the blood that Jesus shed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We cannot stand. Oh, go over to Judges chapter 6. I want to look at an interesting story in Judges chapter 6. We've all read the story before of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. But it's an interesting story that begins to play out. In chapter 6 of Judges, we find the children of Israel have backslidden. It opens, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians 7 years. Here is interesting sometime. We got to be careful that we never forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. See, they had forgot in the beginning of this story where God had brought them from. They had spent 408 years down in Egypt. They had been a slave in Egypt. They didn't bring themselves out. I'm here today to tell you, you didn't save yourself. Jesus Christ saved you. Jesus Christ paid the price upon Calvary. Oh, he paid a price that we could not pay. Let us never forget how miserable we were when we were down in sin. Let us never forget how we were when we were addicted to the things of the world. But Jesus Christ came along one day and set us free. For he that the Lord has set free is free indeed. He set them free. But once they got free, they took their eyes off the Lord. They began to rejoice in the things and the freedom that they had. They forgot that freedom costs. See, on Wednesday, we celebrated July 4th, but we ought to always stop and think about in the United States that it costs somebody something for us to have the freedom that we have, the independence that we have in the United States today. I'm here today to tell you, those men that signed the Declaration of Independence, they wasn't thinking about themselves. I'm here today to tell you, when Jesus went to Calvary, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about us somewhere in the course of time that he saw way down the road that we were coming down that road. Jesus says, I'm going for you. I'm going to Calvary. So now we find the children of Israel have turned their back. They've turned their back upon the one who can save them. We find the story that he comes to them and he sends a prophet to them. He sends a prophet in verse 8. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto him, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and dragged them out before you and gave you their hand. God reminded them of everything that he had done. He says, listen, the prophet appears unto them and tells them. And he says, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Let me tell you something. You do not have to fear what the world has out there. Understand something. We know we live on earth, but I'm here today to tell you our God is bigger than the devil that walks on the face of this earth. The God is bigger than whatever going on out there that's going on. People get all concerned about what the president is doing, what China's doing, what North Korea's doing. I'm here today to tell you, our God created everything for his glory, for his purpose today. You don't have to worry about what they are doing. You need to keep your eyes upon him. The verse says, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my strength. My strength cometh from who? From the Lord giving my strength. I don't know about you, but when I'm having a damn day, I just talk to my Lord who giveth me strength. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he reminds them that you don't have to fear the Amorites. You don't have to fear the world out there. You know, we talk about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So he looks around. Now, all of a sudden, he tells them. So once they get off track, it's interesting. God doesn't leave you off track. He sends the prophet to remind you when you're off track. All of a sudden, once you admit to him that I'm off track, what happens? Repentance comes. Once repentance comes, deliverance comes. Jesus said, what? I've come that no man shall perish, that all men should have a right to eternal life. He didn't put a limitation on how far he would go for you. So you can't go too far and be lost from Jesus Christ, because he can always bring you back. See, people sometime in the world think I'm too far to be saved. They're never too far to be saved. They're never gone too far from Jesus to call them back. But oh, so we find the story now. He is looking for somebody to deliver a message. The Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is Ophrah that pertained to Joash, the Abarite, and his son Gideon threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midians. So they are so afraid of the Midians. They're in the lands of the Amorites. They ducking and hiding. He's ducking and hiding. I'm here today to tell you, church, we don't need to be ducking and hiding from the world. I'm here today to tell you, we don't look like the world. We don't act like the world, because Jesus Christ says, I'll call you out of the world. Come you out from among them and be you separate, said the Lord of hosts, and just not the unclean thing. I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to duck and hide, because you know who your God is. You know who your God is, but he's down hiding. He's hiding from the Midianites. He's got some wheat because he's a little afraid that they're going to come and take the wheat. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The first thing the angel established unto him, that the Lord is with thee. I'm here today to tell you, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you need to stand up and say, the Lord is with me. He said he would never forsake you. He said, I will never leave you. He said, I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. I'm here today to tell you, when God can swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He swear by himself. He gave you a promise. He says, I'm going to promise you, and I can tell you, God will fulfill his promise. He established to Gideon that I am with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here's Gideon all of a sudden looking around. He's hiding down by the wine press. The angel shows up and reminds him, God's with you. Now, you're a mighty man of valor. You need to get up and realize who you really are. Sometimes we got to get up off the ground and dust ourselves off and realize that who we are. The Bible says a good man falleth 7 times. But guess what? He get it back up. He says, I'm not staying down. I'm not laying down. I'm getting back up one more time. I'm telling you today, church, we got to get up one more time. Get up one more time. So now all of a sudden, and Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all the miracles which our father told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That's the most interesting verse here. Because first of all, go back and look at verse number 12. Give me 12. This is what the Lord said. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, that the Lord is with thee. But go to the next verse, which is verse 13. All of a sudden, he says, us. The angel came to talk to him. Let me help you out. The angel came to talk to Gideon. Gideon tries to shift it to us. Let me tell you something, church. Sometimes God speaks to us about going to do something that he needs us to do, but we keep waiting on the pastor, the bishop, the church to do it. But God was speaking to Gideon. I'm here today to tell you, God calls us to do some things for him. We need to stop looking around saying, well, if the bishop go, the pastor go, I'll go. We got to get to the point where God says for me to go. You got to understand, he died on Calvary for you. He calls you to go. Think of how small a thing that is compared to what he suffered. That's not a fair exchange. Here we are. And Gideon tries to say, well, what happened to all this stuff that you did for us? Did not the Lord bring us up? But now the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord didn't forsake them. They forsook the Lord. They walked away from him. Now, let me tell you, my visual picture of that is always the same. The Lord's carrying the umbrella. You walking under the umbrella, and now you step out from under the umbrella. If you get wet, that ain't the person carrying the umbrella's fault. That's your fault. Well, he didn't move the umbrella over here. God doesn't have to move the umbrella for you. You got to move and get underneath the umbrella. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the wings of the Almighty. Think about that, to abide under the wings of the Almighty. It didn't stay step over there. I want to get up under those wings and get snuggled up under that, because I know if I'm underneath the wing, I'm all protected. I'm all protected if I could just stay there. So he tells Gideon, Gideon that's forsaken me. And it looked up him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. I'm going to save Israel. I know you got the wrong person. I know you got the wrong person. Give me verse 15. He said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon had a problem here. Because Gideon was looking through earthly eyes. Gideon says, my family is poor, Manasseh. I am least in my father's house. But he needs to get to the point that he understands. Because God chose the least. Because then when he uses him, he doesn't get a big head and say, I did it on my own. But I'm here today to tell you, the Bible says, humble thyself under the almighty hand of God. And God will exalt thee in due season. In due season. I'm here today to tell you. But he says, why are you picking me? Don't you want to pick somebody else? I'm the least. But that's what God is looking for. Because then you know you can't do it yourself. And all of a sudden we look up. I got to hurry. Sorry, I got to hurry. All of a sudden, Gideon in verse 19 looks at him. And give me verse 18 first. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. And set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Next verse. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. Now go back to verse 11. Give me verse 11 again. Can you give it to me, CJ? Okay. Now 1 minute, he's hiding by the wine press, threshing wheat. Go back to verse number 19 for me. But now he walks out bringing a gift. It's interesting how God can take something that you hide in one moment and bring him to another moment where he fixes him something and walks out boldly. All of a sudden, he's not afraid of the Midianites anymore. He says, I'm not afraid of those guys because I know something's about to happen. I'm here today to tell you, when God starts moving in your life, things got to be able to change. I'm telling you, it just takes one encounter with God and things can be all different in your life. 1 minute he's hiding, and the next minute he's coming out boldly bringing the food out. Oh, hallelujah. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. When you got God on your side, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. So he brings it out, and an angel of the Lord does something interesting. He tells him to take it. He takes the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lays them down on a rock and pours out the broth. He did. And the angel of the Lord brought forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And that rose up fire out of a rock. Now, I tell you, I've never seen fire come out of a rock. But I can tell you one thing. I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God. Fire came out the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. It's interesting that he shows him who God really is. You're running from the Midianites. The Midianites can't make fire come out of a rock, not with just touching it with a staff. I'm here today to tell you, God can take care of whatever you think you're worried about today. Understand something. Now, all of a sudden, God tells him to build an altar. He builds an altar and makes a sacrifice unto God Almighty. But I'm here today to tell you, that was just setting the stage for a soldier to go to battle. God had established that, yes, I am with thee, thou almighty man of valor. So now comes the first real test along the line. All of a sudden, God gives him a mission. Well, God, I like being a soldier. I like wearing the uniform. I like walking around. I like doing all this other stuff. But do I have to go do this? A soldier is designed to go to battle. That's his whole purpose. So now he tells him to go and do something interesting. Go and throw down the altar of Baal. understand something, that thy father has, and cut down the groove that is in it. Give me that verse. This is a tough one to swallow. He said, the Lord tells him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has. Ooh. You want me to go throw down something that belongs to, quote, my earthly father? And not only pull it down, but cut down that groove that is in it. Let me tell you something. Jesus looked at us one day and said, as he told Peter, loveth thou me more. See, understanding this context here, Gideon and his father were not on the same page. His father was off behind Baal. Gideon was not. Let me tell you something. Just because somebody close to you don't live for God, don't mean you have to go out there and act up and not live for God too. I'm just telling you that this morning. As much as it hurt, God still says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Understand something. So he tells them to pull it down. And he said that he built an altar unto the Lord. Then he goes and takes 10 men of his servants. Now Gideon doesn't go by himself. He gets 10 men of his servants. And they are so afraid, they did it by night. They snuck in by night and pulled it down. They cut down the grooves. Now, all of a sudden, the next morning, the men rise up and said, look at it and say, you know, somebody to pull down Baal. Somebody done cut down the grooves. Who did it? Somebody said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Somebody was a tattletale. Now, the question I have is, did one of the ten tell? Who told? Because Gideon did it by night. So either Gideon didn't tell, did one of the ten tell, or was Gideon so committed to God that they realized he was the only one that could have went and did it? Because he was the only one that was separate enough that says, I don't want any part of this. Just because the rest of y'all over there, I don't have to go over there. Okay, so now all of a sudden it says, then the men of the city go unto Joash, bring out their son that he may die. Now listen to this. They tell him, bring him out that he may die. Go back to verse 23 for me real quick. Now who are you going to believe? The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. But guess what the men said? Bring him out that he can die. Well, I got a little secret for you guys that's saying bring him out, let him die. You didn't give him life, and you can't take it. But they're talking about bring him out that he could die. See, that's when they're getting in trouble. They said bring him out that he can die. But I'm here today to tell you, when you're doing something for God, you don't have to worry about it. When the enemy starts threatening you, that's when you know you're busy doing what God's called you to do. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? When the enemy start attacking you, you just have to start attacking him back. Well, he may hit me. He may punch me. He may do something to me. He can do whatever he wants to me, but he can't take my life. It's not his to take. So what if I die in the middle of battle? The Bible says to live is to Christ, but to die is to gain. What do I gain? I gain heaven for all of eternity. Oh, bring on the battle. Bring on the battle. I'm there. We're standing today. They're moving. I got to hurry to the close. I'm watching them stand up and move around. I'm getting a little nervous. So Gideon gets through the first battle. Now, let me explain something to you, Harvest, as I hurry to a close today. We know the next story. In chapter 7, God sends Gideon out to deal with the Midianites and the Amalekites. In verse 12, the valley looks like grasshoppers. There's so many of them. The Bible tells us Gideon has 32,000 men with him to go to battle. The first thing God tells him, you got too many men. Send some of them back. He said, first of all, Listen what Hebrews says. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount of Gideon. And now returned of the people 20,000 and 2,000. Now think of this. You got to go to battle. There's a bunch of people out there, Midianites, Amorites, the grasshopper. And 22,000 of them go back. Let me break that down for you. I looked at the number. That means 69% of your soldiers just went back. What that means for us is just church. Let me be honest with you. Not everybody going to go to battle with us. There were some in the army, but they were fearful and afraid. So they returned. Now, they enjoyed the blessings of God. But when it came time to go defend the word of God, they decided, oh, I'm going back home. I'm fearful. I went back. I'm here today to tell you, when you're living for God, there is no going back. There is no turning back. I'm here today to tell you. The Bible says, no man put his hand to the plow and look it back is fit for the kingdom. I'm telling you, it's time to stop looking back. First of all, let me tell you, our forefathers who paid a price, they're not coming back today to go to battle for us out here. We're going to have to go to battle for ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. I got to hurry. So he sends them back. So now he's down to 10,000. So they go to the water. They're all thirsty. God sends another 9,700 home. He got 300 people left. Now, I started with 32,000. I got 300 left. Okay, God. Then you want to know where my number comes from. So God has sent 99.06% of the people back. Now, we are going to battle with 0.937% of the people. Give me Ephesians chapter 6. Give me verse 18 as I close. CJ, give me that verse. He tells them, so you got it. We talked about the whole armor of God. This is the whole purpose for that armor. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching therefore with all perseverance and application for all saints. Once you put the armor on, it's time to go to war. War begins in the prayer room. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where the war first begins, in the prayer room, is dragging my flesh down to an altar in a prayer room and saying, Lord, I do have your will. Lord, have your way. Shall we stand as we come to a close? I'm here today to tell you, I was driving around yesterday in Springfield. There are a lot of churches in Springfield. Better yet, let me put it right in perspective. There are a bunch of counterfeits out there. I'm telling you, there are a bunch of counterfeits out there. See, if you're going to wait for somebody else to evangelize Springfield, it's too late. It's too late. God has called us. I'm telling you today, God has called us to evangelize Springfield. Let me tell you why. Because we got the truth. I'm here today to tell you. No, you got to know that you got the truth. And you got to know what you know, what you know, what you know. There can be no doubt about it. I'm here today to tell you. It begins with repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost as initial evidence and speaking in other tongues. It's beginning to understand that there is one God. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. I was visiting with a friend yesterday. They trying to explain the Trinity to me. And boy, they were beating it up. They beat it up because they couldn't explain it to you. They can't explain it. They can't explain it because it doesn't exist. But I'm here today to tell you, if we don't go, who will go? Who will go in this last day and hour? God, use us. Lord, use me. Shall we pray as we close? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, as we stand in the last days, and the last hours, Father. Father, now it's time, Father, for he that warred, Father, let us now not become entangled with the things of the world. Let us understand, Father, you are our ultimate commander-in-chief, Father. You are he that created everything, Father. You are he that called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Father. You are he that brought us out of the miry clay. You set us upon the rock to stay, Father. You're our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. You're our strong tower, Father. Oh, Lord, we lift you up today, Father. Now, Father, go with us and keep us, Father, as we prepare to come back at 1 o'clock, Father. We come to lift you up. We come to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You're dismissed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.